Good evening. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and you are listening to QLV. QLV, Queer Lehigh Valley, brings leading-edge conversations about LGBTQIA+ culture and community of the Lehigh Valley to WDIY listeners every month, including interviews with our neighbors, elected officials, and community leaders that will inspire acceptance and inclusion. I am your host, Justin Parker Fields, he, him, his pronouns, and I want to thank you for your support, as we know you could be anywhere doing anything right now, but we're glad you're here with us tonight. It's the most wonderful time of the year, according to the Christmas classic written in 1968, made famous by Andy Williams. Whether driving in your car, shopping at the mall, or picking up takeout, it's hard to not catch a holiday jingle here and there. During the holidays, people tend to be nicer, they seem to care more, and the overall mood is one of nostalgia, happiness, and excitement around Christmas Day. The holidays also affect those who might be suffering from depression or might not even know they live with it. Whether it's a single mom or dad struggling to put food on the table and presents under the tree, or a widower who misses their significant other, the holidays at times can make these life situations difficult to bear. We're going to focus on mental health awareness during the holidays for tonight's episode and share resources and best bets to hopefully help those overcome it or know where to seek assistance. Joining us tonight, we have Chloe Cole Wilson, Program Coordinator for Project Silk Lehigh Valley at Valley Youth House, and Emily Connors, Associate Director of Development and Marketing at Valley Youth House. Thank you both for being here with us tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Chloe, can you let our listeners know what your involvement looks like at Valley Youth House with Project Silk Lehigh Valley?
Yes. So Project Silk Lehigh Valley is a drop-in center for LGBTQ+ youth and young adults between the ages of 14 to 29. We do all different services. My role is really to ensure that our young people have a safe and affirming space to come to, especially when they are in need of mental health services, a place to gather with friends, HIV or STI testing services and care. So my role is just to support the day-to-day operations and ensure we have everything we need to serve our community.
And that's needed, because I didn't really hear of a lot of programs like that when I was growing up. So to be able to hear that and know that that's going on here in the Lehigh Valley with Project Silk Lehigh Valley, that's amazing to hear. So thank you for that. And Emily, can you tell us a little about yourself and what your role at the organization covers?
Sure. So here at Valley Youth House, I work in our development and marketing department, and I have the honor and privilege of being able to represent our organization out in the community in order to tell folks about the amazing work that's being done each and every day here at Valley Youth House. So Project Silk Lehigh Valley is one of our many programs that are helping vulnerable young people in our community, and all of the amazing resources that Chloe mentioned, as well as housing support and mental and behavioral health counseling, and just making sure that young people are set up for success and that they can live healthy, independent lives here in our Lehigh Valley.
That's major, and it's so needed, especially when we're having the conversation, especially on tonight's show, around depression and mental health. So let's get right into tonight's topic. The holiday season is a magical time for some, but it wasn't until I was really an adult that I understood how privileged I was to be able to celebrate the holidays with my family, even as a kid. Why do you think talk about depression seems to increase during the holidays?
I definitely want to make space for folks who are experiencing loss and grieving. I think that can really impact how people perceive and take on the holidays. So if you lost anyone earlier in the year or years prior, the holidays create traditions, and this is the way we celebrate culture and connect and receive healing in all types of ways when we connect with family and friends. And so when you're experiencing grief and loss, it can be even more impacted during a time in which we promote and celebrate togetherness. Also, too, when I think of the young folks that we work at Project Silk Lehigh Valley and at Valley Youth House, oftentimes, you know, foster care youth don't have the nuclear family set up. So they don't have, you know, mom, dad. Oftentimes they don't have parental guidance in their life. They're receiving supports from social services, and it's not the same. And so over at Valley Youth House and Project Silk Lehigh Valley, we really make it our mission to ensure that the young folks that are getting our services have an opportunity to connect with staff during the holiday. So we'll do holiday parties. We also have a holiday gift drive. And so we encourage the community to donate to Valley Youth House and Project Silk Lehigh Valley to ensure that our young people leave with a gift. Our young people leave with things that they may need going into the next year. So the holiday season, I just think, just prompts this need for unity. And sometimes folks don't have the pieces to do that.
And I like how you touched on traditions and allowing yourself that space, because you don't necessarily have to have a mental health issue or even suffering or going through depression to still feel sad and miss people, you know, during that time. I mean, my grandmother was always big on traditions, and I think it's been 13 years since she's passed away, but it doesn't hurt any less or feel any less. So I'm glad that you made the comment of giving yourself that space to, you know, to be in the feelings or to understand that it's not okay and you're sad.
Yeah. And grief and loss goes beyond just like having like death in life, right? It could be grief and loss of a friendship, grief and loss of a relationship, the ending of things. I think oftentimes the holidays can be really a time for us to reflect on the greatness of life and everything that's happened in the year. But then it also is a time to reflect on the things that may have caused some grief and brought up some feelings of loss too.
Absolutely. Now, those dealing with depression usually have triggers that can creep up and affect those even who have the best coping mechanisms. What advice do you have for folks who don't know how to respond to triggers or might not even know that they have them?
My advice would be to think of it as a prevention mechanism. So not waiting until the holidays are upon us or you're in a situation that might be uncomfortable or bring up certain triggers or traumas, but to really think about wellness and mindfulness so that you can continue that into the holiday season. Make sure that you are aware of situations and recognizing this situation makes me uncomfortable, and here's how I'm going to cope with it when XYZ may or may not happen. I think at Valley Youth House here, we are very big on prevention services for mental health and making sure that folks have coping mechanisms to recognize when those feelings might be coming up, that they are well equipped to handle them.
I'm glad that you touched on awareness and prevention, because a lot of times that can help when you're blindsided or not expecting like an affront or an attack, and or just hearing like a trigger word or a microaggression or gaslighting. It's like, oh, you know what? I was prepared for this. Or, you know, I did some type of, you know, preventative measures to pivot or sidestep this. So I'm really glad that you brought that up, because that happens in everyday life, especially during the holidays when you're around your families and around friends or coworkers. That tends to creep up a lot. I think a common misconception is that depression or dealing with mental health only affects older individuals or adults. Children and teens can be impacted as well. How does assistance or care differ for those at a younger age?
I did want to also mention that just kind of going back to triggers and coping skills, 988 is a very important number to have in your phone. It's, you know, it's our newest mental health suicide hotline. So you can text it, you can call it. Utilizing those kind of services, I think, is very important, especially when there might be a moment where, oh man, like all of the coping skills that I built throughout the year is not working. I'm in emergency now. I'm in a crisis. Where do I go? So for those crisis moments, 988. As far as this question here, I think when we're talking about children and youth and young adult services, I think it's important to know that you want to find a clinician or a supportive person like the clinicians and folks at Valley Youth House that really understand youth care. There are so many different ways that we can connect with our young people. There's a stigma amongst all age ranges that mental health services aren't needed. There's also a stigma that, like, you know, and we hear it generationally being passed down, that talking to a therapist means that you're telling on your family, right? I hear that from my young people all the time. Like, well, if I go to a therapist, like, will they tell my mom this is happening?
Snitching, yeah.
Yes, yeah. And it really is like, no, like, if you are unsafe, we need to make sure that you're safe. And, you know, when we have to go into higher needs and higher supports, it's because we want to make sure you're safe. So I think that that's oftentimes the difference, is that young people don't want to approach services because they're concerned about, oh, but what if this person finds out? What if that person finds out? What if my parents find out? But really, it's about ensuring you have the best care possible and you're safe.
Do you find that teachers are equipped to handle or assist their students, since we're on the topic of like young adults and children who are coping with depression or mental health issues. I know like growing up in school, like whether it was middle school or high school, we had guidance counselors. But do you think that the teachers and guidance counselors are equipped to help with this?
I think what's really important to understand is that the administration has to support teachers. Teachers wear 1,000 hats, and they are the educators. I've met so many educators in this area, and they are incredible. I've met incredible educators that do so much for their school community, for their local community. I think it's really important that we just equipped people, even folks like yourself and myself, who just might be in the community, to understand what the resources are around mental health, especially when people are struggling. You know, ensuring that folks, they get the Synergy, a project number that we have. Through Valley Youth House, we have the Synergy Project, which is like emergency services for unsheltered youth, and ensuring that people have those numbers for crises that are beyond them. So it's ensuring that our whole community has resources, especially during when crises arise. And we know how to connect with each other. Again, teachers wear so many different hats. Yeah. And it's important that we have administrations, but also communities that support teachers and other support folks that are helping our young people become educated, become healthy adults. How do we support them, and how do we support each other while we support young people?
Yeah. And I can imagine that it's a hurdle for teachers, because in trying to assist their students going through these emotional or mental health issues, they could be facing issues of their own. Mm-hmm. And so it's even like, you know, like even taking self-care, we hear that all the time, like making sure they take care of themselves too. And that's probably hard for them in this current climate, because they give so much of themselves.
So. Absolutely. And I echo everything Chloe mentioned. And I would also add that Valley Youth House has a robust school-based counseling program that's able to support. We have over 40 counselors in dozens of schools throughout the Lehigh Valley that are helping teachers navigate this. We know, as Chloe said, that they're wearing so many hats, and we have trained counselors and therapists at Valley Youth House that can tap into those schools and really assist with the youth that are really going through such crisis and can be there when emergency situations arise. We know that educators and guidance counselors, that there's so many young people with so many needs, and that, as Chloe mentioned, let's support them. And Valley Youth House's school-based counseling program is just one of the many resources that can help those school districts in our region.
When you think about it, like especially like with the school-based counseling program, it's great to know that our students, like their counselors and their guidance counselors, have a support system as well. So like the support system is like layers. Here's the support system for your children, right, and for your teachers. There's additional support system outside of that with Valley Youth House, both internal and external. And that's really amazing to hear, because it's like all the bases are covered in a sense, as best as can be.
Yep.
Well, we are going to take a short break. You are listening to QLV with our special guest, Chloe Cole Wilson, Program Coordinator at Project Silk Lehigh Valley of Valley Youth House, and Emily Connors, Associate Director of Development and Marketing at Valley Youth House. When we come back, we're going to discuss and share resources as we continue our conversation surrounding depression and mental health during the holidays. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to QLV. We are returning with Chloe Cole Wilson and Emily Connors. Another party in this conversation are significant others. They deal, I won't say they have to, but they also deal with maybe their own mental health issues or depression or that of their partners, especially partners who maybe haven't come out at work yet. I know for me as a working professional, I can definitely say 15 years ago when I was working at an organization, I didn't, you know, communicate who my partner was at the time. And, you know, for those who don't know, I'm a gay Black male, because I was fearful of stigma. I was fearful of losing my job, office politics. Like, I didn't want any of that. And then now, like, you know, I tag Kevin in probably every status that I have and you know, have him on my desk at work, which is major. But for these dynamics, because they are out there, there can be mixed emotions or feelings of resentment after an altercation or misunderstanding. So what communication tips can you provide to our listeners to maybe help shift or pivot a situation that appears to be going left?
Well, one thing's for sure, I think what's really important is listening. We live in a society where all of our communication has completely changed in the last, like, probably 100 years, yeah. Right? We've gone from, you know, sending mail, and mail takes a very long period of time in the early 1900s, to now sending a text. And text is 2.5 seconds. So we have lost a lot of listening skills because, you know, mass media, like, we're constantly bombarded with messaging and all of these things. So I think it's really important that you are listening. Something that we do with our young folks at Project Sickly High Valley is teach them about active listening in order for them to have healthy relationships. Mm. Healthy relationships oftentimes will do some of the preventative work that you need to be a healthy adult. When your relationship is healthy, oftentimes you'll think about improvement. You'll think about ensuring that you're safe and okay. And you'll also build independence when you're in healthy relationships. And healthy relationships goes beyond just romantic, right? Yeah. Having a healthy relationship with your parent, having a healthy relationship with friends, families, teachers, whoever you're having a relationship with. And so active listening is very important. So hearing folks out versus hearing to speak back is really important. We got to listen to understand.
Yeah.
And when we listen, when we have that intention behind our listening, then we're able to kind of problem solve and slow down. So a part of the Project Silk Lehigh Valley model isn't all just like creating this affirming space for them, but also ensuring that they do have these communication skills, that they feel supported so that they can, you know, handle challenge and conflict, and that they can advocate for themselves to live healthy, authentic lives. You talked about, you know, being queer in the workspace or being LGBTQ+ in the workspace. And, you know, our young folks, like, they are constantly learning these skills at Project Sickly High Valley to, you know, ensure that they have space wherever they go and ensure that they're safe regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity. And a lot of that is sitting in advocacy within self and making sure that you're standing up for yourself and you're communicating effectively your needs.
Yeah, and active listening goes a long way, because I feel like if you practice active listening, at least, it helps to break down a lot of miscommunication that could happen. And so one thing that you touched on, like, when you're listening for understanding instead of listening for response, it makes a world of difference, because then you're not on high alert, your guard's down a little bit, and it's like you can actually show that empathy. You can actually show some understanding. And you might not always have to agree with the other person or with your partner, significant other, or even like you that are in your program, but you at least you're giving them, I guess, like, you know, the green light to communicate with me how I'm communicating with you. Yes. And let's really, like, work on that. Mm-hmm. That's important. The Lehigh Valley has a lot of area to cover. Composed of Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, and surrounding neighborhoods, it has a combined population of over 379,000 people. According to the U.S. Census, the 2020 median income for an individual living in Allentown was $22,210. That equates to just $10.68 an hour. So that brings us to our next factor in this conversation, poverty and income levels. Does depression and mental health affect those who are just making ends meet differently from those who live a financially comfortable life?
I do want to make clear that mental health and depression is something that we all as a society deal with at different capacities and different situations. So I do want us to just start off by that unfortunately, you know, folks struggle with depression even after, you know, severe loss, and we can all suffer loss no matter what income bracket we're in. But when we're talking about, you know, poverty levels and financial capabilities or incapabilities, it's really important to understand that finances can be very stressful for families. When you are trying to take care of a family of 4 to 6, sometimes 8, it's very, very stressful when you're not able to make ends meet.
Yeah.
And it's important for us to understand that, like, finances are stressful. Finding a job is stressful. Keeping your job is stressful. And so when we as a community have community initiatives in order to support folks who are making lower incomes, it's really, really important to value and support those community initiatives because we need them. Oftentimes, you know, folks act on, and not just talking about depression, but as far as mental health, some folks will act on aggression and violence in order to make ends meet for their families. And it's really, really, really important and crucial to understand that those behaviors and those actions need to be met with care and ensuring that people have the tools that they need to live lives that are healthy for their families. And when we're talking about income too, we need to support education. So supporting those, it kind of comes right back around, right? Supporting our teachers, supporting the professors that educate the students that are in this area, ensuring that young folks have an opportunity to become whatever they want to be, whatever they need to be in order to make ends meet for them and their families. So this is, I think, can be such a touchy and tough topic, mostly because, you know, income levels, it's tough. It's a tough conversation.
And you hear and see a lot of stories about parents who are arrested for stealing diapers or stealing formula. And you have to think of the situation that they've placed themselves in because they're trying to make a better way for their families. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one thing to touch on was like support and care. And unfortunately, you know, it's criminalized. And so, I mean, there's a whole going down the rabbit hole with this topic, but I thought it was super important to get your insight and opinion on that, because income levels and loss of jobs, I mean, if anything, we've seen this heavy and big with the pandemic. A lot of people were forced to have to do without. And that's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow. Mm-hmm. A hard pill to swallow. So thank you for that your insight on that. Culture and identity also play a major role in decision-making for those who seek or don't seek mental health assistance. In the Black community growing up, a lot of us were told, and kind of hit on this before, you know, what goes on in this house stays in this house. Not in all situations, but in enough of them. Children, even young adults, could be sexually or physically abused into teenage and adulthood years. How can Black and brown individuals, especially those in the LGBTQ community who are oftentimes put out of the home for coming out and for identifying as who they are, how can we go against everything that we were taught growing up with regards to communication and privacy, and maybe not even being gay, to find the strength and courage to seek outside help for their mental health?
This is something that I think, you know, Project Silk Lehigh Valley does a lot of work around. I think Valley Youth House as a whole, we have such a beautiful and unique staff that can have these conversations with their young people about some of the messaging that they've received in their family dynamics. What's most important is safety, right? Every time I'm having a conversation with young folks, it's not a skilled question, right? It's just, are you safe?
Yeah.
And if you are unsafe, how can I support you in being safe? And I think that that is the most important thing that we need to tell our community, right? Mental health stigma goes across different cultures and different races and different ages, as I was mentioning before. But as far as, you know, Black and brown communities, I think it's very, very, very important to give this messaging to yourself. Like, you are loved, you are cared for, and you deserve to be cared for. You deserve to feel safe. You deserve to come to a place where you can tell your story and get the supports you need, whether it be mental health supports, physical supports, housing, all of these things. And this mantra you need to tell yourself, especially when you're met up against, you know, racism, when you're met up against homophobia, transphobia, you need to tell yourself this messaging. You deserve safety. You deserve love. You deserve to be safe. And you have to just let it sit with you until you are ready to, you know, make changes and talk to someone about, you know, what's going on in your life so you can get the supports you need.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for those self-affirmations, especially when they're not hearing it from their family or they're not hearing it from their friends. Because if they're not hearing it from them, it's just a blank space or a void. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important for those self-affirmations to just say that to yourself and even look in the mirror and say it to yourself, mm-hmm. But just so that you hear it. And hear it throughout the day, so that way you're ready for the next day. It's a game changer.
Yeah, and it's sometimes, you know, a lot of times we're told, like, all right, you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right? When you have these affirmations and you believe in them, they're powerful. So I know giving that messaging for folks can be really hard and saying, like, well, I can't figure it out right now. And that's okay. allow yourself to be in the space that you're in, right? But when you are experiencing distress, like remember that 988 number. Remember this very conversation we're having today, that you are loved and you are cared for. And at least from me, Chloe, you are loved and you are cared for and you deserve care and you deserve to be safe.
And that was 988?
988.
Mm-hmm. Now, for that information, like when calling that number, is anybody that's calling is like, is there information like collected like on these hotlines? I know a lot of people sometimes they're scared to call in because like, okay, well, what if this information gets out? And maybe if I'm like, you know, run away from like, someone who's an abuser or my family's going to find out. Do you know if this is, I mean, I know you don't work for 988, but like, is this usually confidential or?
Yeah. So what makes this a little bit difficult for younger folks that are connecting to the server is that oftentimes like we're uphold to like Childline and ensuring that like we have to report, we're mandated reporters, so we have to report child abuse. But at the same time, it is really important that you get the supports you need, and it will cause tension and it may be a discourse. But as far as adults contacting that, as long as you are in a safe environment and there aren't any threats of harm to self or others, all of this information is confidential, making that super clear. So if you need to share anything, you need to talk to the counselors, utilize that platform to share.
And Emily, where can our listeners find out more information about Valley Youth House and the services and support provided there?
Sure. So users can go to valleyyouthhouse.org. That's valleyyouthhouse.org, or our social media platforms to get connected to our website and our services. They can always call our phone number at 610-820-0166 to be connected to different programs that serve their needs. We have a plethora of different programs for different age groups and youth that are experiencing different things. And so they can talk to counselors and figure out what's the best program for them to make sure that they are getting the best care possible. So valleyyouthhouse.org has a list of our services. It has our resource guide to really be able to connect and talk with counselors in a way where they will be respected and they will know that we are a safe place that they can go in this caring community.
Thank you. Well, you heard it there, folks. Chloe, Emily, I want to thank you both so very much for taking time to have this courageous conversation surrounding depression and mental health during the holidays. I really felt that it was important to normalize talking about these issues as they're more commonplace than not. Thank you for your work you do in the community and for sharing and spreading awareness on these topics.
Thank you so much for having us today.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for making time for this conversation. You can also find past episodes and other public affairs programming at WDIY.org, our WDIY app, and on all major podcast platforms. I'm Justin Parker Fields, and this is WDIY 88.1 FM. Tune in next Thursday for more Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we'll see you next time on QLV.